for encouraging us to do this, and of course to Ali for hosting, the entire Olam for coming to learn over here on a Sunday morning, and it's nice to be back in Lux, at least in some capacity. And I thank my in-laws, of course, for always hosting us year after year. The Masechtas Erevin, together with Masechtas Nida, Masechtas Yevamos, are known as some of the most difficult Masechtas in Shas, Barash Tevas Ani. And I don't think that that's because the concepts that are found in these Masechtas are any more complex than the concepts that are found in other Masechtas. Every Masechta has concepts and topics that are endlessly complex and contain immense depth. Rather, I think these Masechtas are considered to be the most difficult Masechtas because their concepts, the issues that are found in these Masechtas, are really not found anywhere else. They're local to these Masechtas. They're not interdispersed throughout Shas, and therefore they're somewhat unfamiliar to us. And the reason they're all contained within one place, more or less, is because they're really all interdependent. Each one is connected to the other. And therefore, in order to Paskin a Shaila in one of these three areas, and particularly with regards to Hilchos Erevin, one has to be familiar, not just with one sugya, one daf in the Masechta. You really have to kind of be familiar with the entire Masechta. And therefore, since every issue is really connected to one another, even though I always try and learn Lasuke Shmaitza, Libi de Hilchasa, to come out with Halach L'maisa conclusions, at the same time, whatever we discuss here today, I would ask you, not as a disclaimer, I mean this in all sincerity, that please don't infer or interpret what we discuss here today to be a psak with regards to an Eruv in any one community or the other. I assume that the Olam over here is learning Daf Yomi. They've learned the Masechta, at least the beginning of the Masechta, and went through Masechta Shabbos, so therefore is familiar with the basics of the Malach of Haitzah, the last of the Lama test of his Malachas. One is not allowed to transfer an item from Rishus HaYocha to Rishus HaRabim, or vice versa, or to carry an item with a Da'at Amos within a Rishus HaRabim. So basic parameters of what the difference is between a Rishus HaYochid and a Rishus HaRabim and a Karmelis and all the different Rishuyos are. And the basic notion that the purpose of an Eruv is to convert an area, either a Karmelis or a Rishus HaRabim, into a Rishus HaYochid in order to permit one to carry within the enclosure. But the Gemara over here on the Vavim and Aleph discusses how can one go about converting a Rishus HaRabim, the public thoroughfare Midrashah, into a Rishus HaYochid in order to permit one to carry within the Rishus HaYochid. The Gemara quotes Machlekes Tanoim about what's necessary in order to do this. And the Gemara quotes actually Machlekes Tanoim within the opinion of what was the Shita of Beis Hillel. However, everyone seems to agree, at least within the opinion of Beis Hillel, that a Lechi or a Kaira or a Tzuras HaPesach, which I assume everyone is familiar with, Alechi or Kaira or Tzuras HaPesach is somehow part of the equation and can participate in taking what was a Rishus HaRabim Deiraisa, which has, let's say, two mechitzas on either side, but it's a public thoroughfare and there's openings on either end, and you're going to have to close off the openings on either end on all four sides in order to permit carrying within the enclosure, that as opposed to the opinion of Beis Shammah, that you need doors that, at either end that are closed at night, the opinion of Beis Hillel was a little bit more lenient. And it could be that part of the equation is, it might be you need one door, but it could be that a Lechi or a Kaira or Tzuras HaPesach could suffice on the other side. Maybe you don't even need doors at all. And the Gemara questions whether or not this is actually legitimate. Can it be that the opinion of Beis Hillel is that a Lechi or a Kaira or Tzuras HaPesach is sufficient to close off Rishus HaRabim? The Gemara says, Rishus HaRabim mima arva. Can a Rishus HaRabim be converted into a Rishus HaYochid? So of course it can be converted. So the Gemara qualifies that question on the Amud Beis. And the Gemara says, no, b'kach hudalo ma'arva. Can you be ma'arev or Rishus HaRabim deraisa with a Lechi or a Kaira or a Tzuras HaPesach? And the Gemara goes on to quote the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, who said that Yushalayim el moed dalsasen in olas belayla Yushalayim, which were, let's say more or less was this kind of a diagram of a thoroughfare, had walls on either side, and there was traffic going through and through. So Yushalayim el moed dalsasen in olas belayla Yushalayim, were not for the fact that the doors were closed on either end, it would have had the status of a Rishus HaRabim. Now it sounds like parenthetically, from the fact that Yushalayim had doors that were closed on either end, they were dlusas ninalos b'layla, every night they would lock the doors, so Yushalayim did not have the status of Rishus HaRabim Daraisa. It had the doors that were closed on either end, and certainly that is sufficient to render the area that's inside not a Rishus HaRabim Daraisa. However, it sounds like from the Gemara, they did not actually make an Eruv and permit carrying within Yerushalayim. It wasn't Rishus HaRabim Deraisa because it had these doors on either end, but they never made an Erev in Yerushalayim. So Taisis Yantif on the Mishnah says, why didn't they ever make an Erev in Yerushalayim if it wasn't Rishus HaRabim Deraisa or it had these machitzas on either end? why didn't they carry, make an Eruv or do the things that were necessary in order to permit carrying within Yerushalayim? So Tosfos Yontif explains based on a Mishnah later on in Maseches Eruv and Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph. Well, the Mishnah says, an Ir Shel Rabim Ein Ma'arvin Es Kula. If you have a city which contains within it Rishus HaRabim, you cannot make an Eruv throughout the entire city and permit carrying the city. Why not? Because people will come to forget about the Isra of Haitzah. They knew that this area was Rishus HaRabim Deraisa. So now you can make an Eruv there. And you're going to permit people to carry. So people are going to say, oh, there's no more Issa Haitzah. They're going to come to forget about the Issa of Haitzah. How then do we make an Erev in any of our communities? What about the Ir Shel Rabim Ein Ma'arvin Es Kula? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Magen Avraham two explanations. The first is, we very rarely ever include an entire city within an Erev. That people are going to come to say, wow, there's no place where there's an Issa Haitzah. There's no place that's out of the Erev. And people are going to come to forget about the Issa of Haitzah. We never make an Erev almost, that includes an entire city and has no limits. Why? Just practically. It's much more, costly to keep expanding the Erev, indefinitely. So we end up drawing the line somewhere, and then everyone knows the Erev ends here, and there's an Isra of Haitzah beyond that. But moreover, the Magen Avraham says that Isra only really functions, Ir Shel Rabim Ma'arvin Es Kula, if you have a Rishus HaRabim Deraisa. Most of our cities and suburban communities are not a Rishus HaRabim Deraisa, and therefore it's not part of what the Mishnah is discussing, Ir Shel Rabim Ein Ma'arvin Es Kula. So that's why the Tosfos Yontif explains they never made an Erev in Yerushalayim, because if they would have made an Erev in Yerushalayim, that would have been a violation of Ir Shel Rabim Ein Ma'arvin Es Kula. Rav Moshe, and it's true about the Erev in Manhattan, so he suggests a different answer. Now, it's important to put Rav Moshe's tshuva in context. Rav Moshe was not discussing the first Erev in Manhattan. The first Erev in Manhattan was built in 1905 by Rabbi Yehoshua Siegel, who was a Rav on the Lower East Side and published a kuntzus about this called Erev V'Haitzah in 1905. He was a Galatianer and was a Hasidish influence. And Hasidim in general are more inclined to build Erevin, because the Baal Shem Tov is quoted in the Beis Aron, and the Baal Shem Tov felt that his part of his tafkid in this world was to be Mesakin a few inyonim. The Pasuk says in Sefer Chabakuk, "Bizoam titzad eretz." Kadosh Baruch Hu marches through the land with anger. Kadosh Baruch Hu is angry sometimes at the lack of observance of the Torah and the mitzvahs. So, but what in particular is Kadosh Baruch Hu angry about? So, Baal Shem Tov said, Kadosh Baruch Hu is angry. Bizoam is a Rosh Tevis for Zvicha, Erevin, and Mikvos, which makes sense because if you think about it, Zvicha really means kashrus. Erevin is doing Shmir Shabbos, and Mikvos is Taras HaMishpacha. So the basic fundamentals of daily Jewish life, Shabbos, Kashrus, Taras HaMishpacha, we're not keeping those items as well as we should, and therefore Kadosh Baruch Hu's anger is aroused against us. So Baal Shem Tov felt it was his task in the world to subdue the anger of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and therefore he emphasized in particular these areas of Zvicha, of Shchita, of Erevin and of Mikvos in order to be misakin to subdue the anger of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So in general, Chassidim are a little bit more inclined to build Erevin in communities. So he was a Galatian, he wanted to build an Erev in Manhattan because it was rampant Chil Shabbos at the time. His contemporary was Rabbi Yaakov Yosef, of course, the first chief rabbi of New York, and he was, I think, a little bit more Litvish. So he was opposed to building the Erev in Manhattan. In the end of the day, they built an Erev in 1905, but the Erev that went in 1905 was only on the east side of Manhattan, and it used what was a seawall around Manhattan, at least the assumption was, whether it was ever true or not, I don't know, it's certainly not true today, but there was a seawall that was built up. There was literally a wall along the east side of Manhattan in order to fortify the city. So there were no beaches that went right into the water, it was all walls. So you had a wall along the east side of Manhattan and the north and the south, and then there was a elevated train that ran up Third Avenue, known as the Third Avenue Line. So they used the seawall that went around, not the water. The water itself might not be a mechitza, but it was actually a wall that ran around Manhattan. And then there was a Third Avenue line, which was the elevated train, and they had a roof on top because it was elevated. And they viewed that as the beginning of a roof and the beginning of a mechitza. And then we could say, Pitikra Yard Vesaisim. I don't think we're up to that yet. But you could use that as the beginning of a mechitza, and we envision the rest as if it comes down and closes off, viewed as a mechitza. And that was the mechitza on the fourth side. That was the original area of Manhattan. However, in the 50s, they got rid of the Third Avenue line. There's no longer an elevated train on that part of Manhattan. That's why there's no subways over there. They used to have an elevated train. So, but once they got rid of the elevated train, so then the Erev was gone. So in the 50s, there was a tumult again. Should we make a new Erev in Manhattan? It took a long time to arrange just politically with the governor and the mayor and all this being Seicher Rishus renting religious rights over Manhattan, which is also, I don't think we're up to yet in Maseches Eruvin. But yeah, in order to create an Erev, you have to rent the Rishus from the Nachum who live in the town, and the mayor wasn't inclined to do it. So it took a long time to arrange politically, but the halachically as well, a great debate again emerged whether or not there should be an Erev around Manhattan, and they were going to use the seawall that went all the way around the wall. There was literally a wall that went all the way around the island. I don't know if it was ever the case, but later on that wall, you know, it doesn't exist today, so I don't know what Metzias they were describing, but the assumption was that there were walls that went all the way around Manhattan. So since there were walls that went all the way around Manhattan, it doesn't have the same issues that Rav Moshe, when he discussed the Erevin in other communities within New York City, it doesn't have the same issues because those Erevin didn't have real walls that went all the way around the city. Yeah, the assumption was he had real walls that went all the way around the city. So Rav Moshe, in his discussion about building an Erev in Manhattan, was opposed to it. No surprise to anyone here. He was opposed to building an Erev there. And one of the reasons he was opposed to, because he is opposed to the Erev in Manhattan, again, it's not the same concerns as he had elsewhere. The reason why I was opposed to it is because he said, one minute, there's going to be so many people who come to visit Manhattan. If they're going to come to visit Manhattan, they're going to see that the Frumer Jews are carrying over here on the Lower East Side, they're carrying in Manhattan, and they're going to go back to the little towns, the little hamlets and cities where they come from, the tourists, and they're going to say, look, the Frum Jews in the, you know, the center of what they saw was going to already become the center of Jewish life outside of Eretz Yisrael, the Jews are carrying there. So then they're going to go back to the little cities and think that they can carry there as well. And they're not going to know that they're only carrying in New York City because there's an Erev there. Well, where did Rav Moshe get this concern from? So Rav Moshe says, well, that's why they never built an Erev in Yerushalayim. How can it be? The Gemara says, oh, Yerushalayim, Omoed, also send an Oz Belayla, where not for the fact that the doors were closed at night, it would have been a Rishus HaRavim. But at the end of the day, the doors are closed at night. And nonetheless, they never built an Erev in Yerushalayim. Why not? So Rav Moshe says, because there were visitors, there were tourists coming to visit Yerushalayim all the time to be on the regular. If they're going to have an Eruv in Yerushalayim, then people are going to think the Frum Jews are carrying Yerushalayim. Why can't I carry in my little town or city? So because of that, Rav Moshe says that's why they never built an Eruv in Yerushalayim, and he thought the same concern should exist in Manhattan as well. And where did he get that from? It's basically based on this Mishnah on Eruv and Daf Nun Tes, is that we have to sometimes go to certain lengths not to permit one to build an Eruv, Yerushalayim in Ma'arvin Eskula, lest people come to forget about the Yisrof Haitzah. Rav Schwab, in his discussion about building an Erev in Manhattan, was not the same concern as Rav Moshe. It's printed in the Mind Basis Shev and Parshas Vayakel. He was concerned that we have to go to the great lengths to protect the Yisrof Haitzah because it's the most, the weakest of all of the Lamentes Malachas. Nothing really changes, you know, when you build something, you destroy something, you cut something, you plant something, you sow something, you tear something. So something changed at the end of the day. So most of the Malachas Shabbos are creative activities. Over here, Haitzah is not a creative activity. You moved an item from point A to point B. So it's a malacha grua. It's weak in people's eyes. And Chazal went to great lengths to protect Yisrof Haitzah. Of course, we all know Rosh Hashanah Shechaliyah is B'Shabbos this year. So we don't blow shofar. Or Sukkot Shechaliyah is B'Shabbos. We don't take lulav. Why not? Gzeira de Rabba Shema Yavi Renu Da'aram Tzusha Rabbin. Maybe you'll take the shofar to the Baki to learn how to blow. You'll take the lulav to the Rav to learn how to shake the lulav. So Schwab says, what a far-fetched chashash. A guy's going to, first of all, it's even more far-fetched. It doesn't say you're going to tarry it out of your house to the Rav's house. What it says is you're going to find it in the Rishus HaRabim. It doesn't say you'll be mighty in Rishus HaRabim. It says, Mabir Dal Amos Rishus HaRabim. I'm going to find the shofar in the middle of Rishus HaRabim, pick it up, and walk 4 Amos in the Rishus HaRabim and put it down. How often does this happen? And because of that concern, we're going to do away with Mitzvah of Shofar that year, midday rise to the Mitzvah of Lulav. Of course, the second day of Rosh Hashanah, but that's the Rabbanan, where it's Lulav day rise to that year. So we're going to do away with the Mitzvah of midday rise because it's such a far-fetched chashash. Rav Schwab says, yes, Chazal went to great lengths to protect the Easter of Haitzah, because Haitzah, in most people's eyes, is considered to be an inferior activity. It's a malacha gruahi. So we have to go to great lengths to protect the Easter of Haitzah. That's one of the reasons Rav Moshe was opposed to building the area of Manhattan, because all the tourists are going to come. And you see that they're carrying here, and they're going to think they could carry in their own homes, and that's why they never built an Erev in Yerushalayim. Rabbi Menachem Kasher, who lived on the west side, was the proponent of building the Erev when the original Erev in Manhattan was no longer functioning. 50s and the 60s, he was in favor of building the Erev. Remendi told me that his grandfather, Rav Palk, was a Rav in the Lower East Side, also wrote a kuntris in favor of the Erev in Manhattan in the 1950s. Rav Kasher and his Shuvas, the Divrei Menachem, printed a kuntris about the Erev in Manhattan, discussing all the different issues that were at play. So he received a letter at the time from Tzvi Pesach Frank, who disagreed with this argument for Rav Moshe. He says, just the opposite. Tzvi Pesach Frank said, if so many people are coming to visit Manhattan from all over the world, if you're not going to build an Erev, they're going to be nishal on the Yisrof Haitzah. So we have the Rabbanim of the town have an achrayus to build an Erev in order to prevent people from violating Shabbos unknowingly. And that's also a principle that we find elsewhere. The Gemara tells us that they used to wash the baby in hot water, and before Bris Milah. And they used to do it after the Bris Milah as well as an antiseptic. Already it says in Shulchan Aruch, we don't do this anymore. We have better antiseptics already in the time of the Shulchan Aruch. However, certainly we don't do this anymore in our time. But that was the practice in the Gemara, was to wash the baby with hot water before and after the Bris Milah is an antiseptic. What if the water spills? So then we have a problem. So the Gemara says, once it happened in the town of Abai that the water spilled. So Rabba, who was there as well, lived in the town as well, so he said, well, let's bring hot water from the house next door. So Abai says, we can't. There's no Eruv. We're not allowed to carry from one house to the next. Oh, so then they had to figure out a different solution. The Gemara discusses all the different solutions that they attempted to devise in order to negotiate the problem. However, Rabba's assumption was that there was an Eruv in the town. So after the sugya is all concluded, the Gemara takes like a, you know, an interlude, and the Gemara says, the Rabba of Chana said to Abai, how could it be that there's no Eruv in your town? Such great Talmid Chachamim, how could it be there's no Eruv? So Abai said, he's too busy learning, he didn't have time to build an Eruv. So the Mordechai infers in that Gemara that Rabba of Chana's assumption was, he was kind of giving Abai Musar, how could it be that you have no Eruv in your town? The Chashav Rabbanim have a responsibility to build an Eruv, and the Tshuvas HaRosh has a Tshuva like that as well. And first in this Gemara that the Rabbanim of the town have a responsibility to build an Eruv. And you even have the right to rely on certain leniencies in building an Eruv. The Gemara says in Sefer Eruv and Daf Mem Vav that just like in Hilchos Avelos, we're familiar with Halacha Kedivrei HaMekel Ba'Avel, if you have a suffix in Hilchos Avelos, you have the right to rely on a minority view. It has to be a legitimate minority view. There are some illegitimate views, but within the range of legitimate opinions. So when you have a suffix in Hilchos Avelos, if it's a suffix, not if we have a psak, if there's a suffix, what to do? You have the right to rely on a das yachid sometimes. So too, when it comes to Hilchos Eruv, the Gemara says, halach kedivrei HaMekel Ba'Avel of the Eruv, if you have a suffix in Hilchos Eruv, you have the right to rely on certain lenient views or certain deos yachidos. So you see, you have the right to rely on certain leniencies to go about fulfilling this obligation, responsibility, the people of the town to build an Eruv in order to make sure people are not nishul in the Yisrael of Haitzah. So whenever you build an Eruv in any community, there's always this tension, and it's a healthy tension. There should be such a tension. It shouldn't lead to destruction of the community. It should lead to l'hagdol Torah u'dira. It's an important tension. We never want to be too cavalier in building an Eruv in because we have to do what we can to be mechazik it, but you also have a responsibility wherever possible to prevent people from violating the Isur of Haitzah and building Erevin. So the Gemara says over here, either way, Yerushalayim, Moed al-Sasen and Oz Balayla would have had the status of Rishus HaRabim. Now that its doors are closed at night, it doesn't have the status of Rishus HaRabim. What do you see from that Gemara? In order to convert the Rishus HaRabim to be a Rishus HaYochid, you need not a Lechi or a Kaira or a Tzur HaPesach, you need Delasos Nin Oz Balayla. And that's what the only way really to convert the Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYochid is if you have the losses and Nalos Balayla, Kaira, Lechi, or Tzuras HaPesach are not going to be sufficient. But what was then the discussion of Beis Hillel? There was an opinion of Tanakama and Chananya within the opinion of Beis Hillel that Lechi or Kaira, Tzuras HaPesach are sufficient in order to enclose an area to permit carrying within that enclosure. The Gemara says, no, that's talking about Mavuos HaMafuloshos Rishus HaRabim. It's talking about alleyways that open on either end. There's a Rosh Hashanah over here, a public thoroughfare over here. But in the middle, it's just a regular alleyway. Then a Lechi or a Kaira or a Tzuras HaPesach is sufficient. Or maybe one door. You don't need two doors on either end that are closed at night. Then the Gemara discusses, when we discuss doors, so is that, do you need doors that are actually closed at night? Or is it enough if you have Delasos HaRu'uyos Lino? Doors that in theory could be closed, or fit to be closed, but they aren't actually closed at night. So Rav HaRishayim understood that Hemshich of the Sugya that is really talking about not Rishus HaRabim to convert into Rishus HaYochid, to be Ma'ariv Rishus HaRabim. That discussion is over and concluded. In order to convert Rishus HaRabim, you need, just like Yerushalayim, El Moed, Al Sosen, and Oz Balayi, you need doors that are closed at night. It's not enough with Ru'uyos Lino. What was that Gemara discussing? Well, that was discussing the alleyways. Alechi, Akaira, Tzur HaPesach. Or maybe if I have a door, even if the door isn't closed at night, but if it's Ru'uyos Lino, it could in theory be closed, maybe that would be sufficient. So the losses of Ru'uyos Lino is talking about Mavuos, Vlashos of Rishus HaRabim, but not the Rishus HaRabim itself. The Rambam disagreed. Rambam understood that sugya, that no, that was modifying the original discussion with regards to Rishus HaRabim. We said in order to be Ma'ariv Rishus HaRabim, you need doors at either end. The Rambam's opinion was, maybe you don't need doors that are actually closed at night. If it's enough if you have Delasos HaRu'uyos Lino. It's in theory could be closed. He learned the sugya differently than the other Rishonim. Both opinions are quoted in Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch it says, in order to be Ma'ariv Rishus HaRabim, you need Delasos Nino's Belagel. And Shulchan Aruch causes Yeshayim. And the opinion of the Rambam is enough if it's Delasos HaRu'uyos Lino. What does that mean? It's Ru'uyos Lino. So the Amnei Nezer claims, based on the Gemara Maseches Yevamos, what it means is it was closed once, in theory. I mean, that's such a gewaldig proof he has. And it's actually like, it's like a homonym. Ruyas Lino means it's possible to be closed. So his raya, that it has to be closed once, is also from Roy Lino, but it's not talking about closing the doors, but putting on a shoe. Roy Lino means a shoe that's able to be worn, because the Pasuk says in Parashas Kisetze, with regards to the mitzvah of Chalitza, the Chalitza Naloi Me'al Ragloi, that she has to remove the shoe from his foot. But it says Na'aloi, his shoe. So it means it has to be able to be worn by him. So Gemara says, well, what does it mean that it has to be able to be worn by him? So Gemara says, if it was worn once by someone, or by, even by the Shliach Beis, then maybe that would be a shoe that's Roy Lino, that's fit to be worn. Now, fit to be worn has nothing to do with doors being closed, but Avnei Nezer extrapolates from that just like a shoe for Chalitza has to be Roy Lino, has to be a shoe that's able to be worn, means that it was worn once, so to a delta Roy Lino means that it has to be that it was closed once. What if you close it once, but the government will never let you close it again? We have doors that are Roy Lino, but we closed it once, but we can't view that as if we now have permission to close it whenever we want. The government will never let you close it again. Where would you have such a thing? So we have it at the end of the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel. There are doors. There's these gold doors. And by the Midtown Tunnel as well, they built these doors after Sandy because the tunnels flooded and destroyed the tunnel. So they built these flood doors by the tunnels in order to close them off. So they did. They closed them off once. You can see a video of them closing off the doors in order to show that they worked and why they spent so much money building these silly doors. So then, but you're never going to be able to close them again. So it's a Deles, Roy Lino, it was closed once. No one is ever going to let you close them again. Can we include that in part of some theoretical, I don't think it's part of the plan, but can you include that in part of some theoretical Erev? So the Avnei Nezer claims, yes, even though the government won't let you close it, that's good enough, because once it was closed once. His contemporary, Yeshua Lukutner, and his tribute, Yeshua Smalko, disagrees. He says, if the government won't let you close it, So then that's not considered to be Roy Lino. But yeah, but how often are we going to have big steel doors at the end of roads? Is this halach of Delosus Haroyos Lino, is that any way applicable in contemporary Erevin? If you have a street that you're not sure, maybe it's a Suffolk, which is Harabim, can we use employ this kind of tactic of a Delos Haroy Lino? So there was a Rav who we're familiar with, whose name is Rabbi Yosef Ralbag, who's the Rabbi Marshi of the Triangle K. His first shtela, I think, was in Amsterdam. And there was a Suffolk, which is Harabim in Amsterdam, and he was tasked with building an Erev in the city. So he came up with an idea that he could have, it's not, we'll see in a second, it wasn't his original idea, but to have canisters attached to the light post at either end of the road. And in the canister will be like a tennis net, a net that could be uncurled and spread across the road. And that will serve as the loss of Saru'uyo is Lino. For as long as you close it once, the government, you could arrange that politically and close it off once, and then you put it back in the canister and leave it like that, and it'll be a loss of Saru'uyo is Lino. So he suggested perhaps that should be the equivalent of what the Shulchan Aruch discusses, loss of Saru'uyo is Lino. If you have a suffering, at least that would be good enough for the Rambam. And he passed this suggestion around to his contemporaries, or to those who are older than him, to Tzitz Eliezer, to Pinchas Herbsprung from Montreal, to the brethren of Rabbi Yashiv, Lazar Plachinsky, a lot of different Gedolim, and they all were the ones that he passed it around to, the ones that he records, were masking to his suggestion that this should be the equivalent of Delosus Haru'uyo is Lino. However, the Avnei Nezer has a tshuva about mamish this exact suggestion. And the Avnei Nezer disagrees, and he says, no, that is not a Delosus Haru'uyo is Lino. Why? Because when the door is open, in order to be considered Delosus Haru'uyo is Lino, there has to still be a door there. The problem over here is when the door is open, even if the strings are all within love with one another and everything and it's installed properly, there's no door anymore. When it's in the canister, you don't see any door. The door is gone. So he compares it to a discussion Shari Tshuva has about a drawbridge. Lots of times when you have a bridge, let's say, that opens up into a city and you want to build an Erev around the city, so you have a problem with the bridges. So one of the things one of the possible solutions Shari Tshuva discusses, well, what if the drawbridge comes up? That should be like a Delosus Haru'uyo is Lino. It's like a door that's fit to be closed as long as the drawbridge goes up once in history. So the Shoshuva actually entertains the possibility that that's Delosus Haru'uyo is Lino. The Avnei Nezer disagrees. He says, no, because the minute it goes down, there's no more door. That's not a Delosus Haru'uyo is Lino. Delosus Haru'uyo is Lino means when you open the door, there's at least a door there. Here, when you close the door, when you open the door is gone. That's not Delosus Haru'uyo is Lino. That's not Mechusar Kreva. That's Mechusar Maisa. It's not just that I have to close the door, that I have to first build the doors. But then you can't call that Delosus Haru'uyo is Lino. Anyway, so that's whether or not we can actually employ this in our cities is somewhat debatable. Really doesn't seem like it has that much of an application. But the Rambam's opinion was that losses are uyos little was sufficient. The other Rishonim disagreed and held that you need actually losses nulos balayla. The problem is that within the Rambam is the Rambam is Saiser himself. The Rambam, one place says enough with losses uyos little. In another place, the Rambam says, no, you need the losses nulos balayla. You need doors that actually close at night. It's a contradiction within the Rambam. So Divrei Yecheskel, that's Yecheskel Borstein, who was a Rosh Yeshiva in Slobodka before the war, is a classical yeshiva shesefer called Divrei Yecheskel. So he suggests in Divrei Yecheskel that perhaps for the Rambam there's a distinction between Chiyuv Haitzah, if you did a B'Shoigeg Yechayv Chatas, B'Mezeg Chayv Skila, as opposed to permitting one to carry within an enclosure. Permitting one to carry within an enclosure, it's enough if you have Dolosos HaRu'uyos Menol, fit to be closed. To be Chayiv for the Melach HaVaitzah, that you need Dolosos Menolos Balayla. And there's a similar distinction Reb Chaim has within the Rambam, because the machlok is throughout Masech Beserivin, primarily on Daf Yud Aleph and Aleph. You already encountered Rav Yehuda Vav. How many walls do you need in order to be considered Rishus HaYochid? The opinion of Rabbi Yehuda was enough for two walls. You have to do something on the third and fourth side, Kair HaLachi, but primarily two walls constitutes Rishus HaYochid. Beis Hillel disagreed with Rabbi Yehuda. They hold you need either three walls or four walls. Machlok is how to read the Gemara. And it's machlekes we shine him out of paskin. Do you need three walls or four walls? The problem is the Rambam contradicts himself. In one place, there's a famous contradiction in the Rambam. In one place, he says it's enough with three walls. In another place, he says you need four walls. And the Prima Gadim has one famous distinction that the Rashba has as well, that it depends what's on the fourth side. If on the fourth side I have a carmelis, which is more or less innocuous, you know, compared to Rishus HaRabim, then it's enough with three walls. If I have on the fourth side Rishus HaRabim, then I need four walls to have a Rishus HaYachid Eirayson because of what's on the fourth side. However, Reb Chaim in the Sefer Neralim has a different distinction. Reb Chaim says, no, to permit carrying the het to tiltul, that's enough for three walls. To be chayev for haitzah, that you need four walls. So that's the same distinction that Divrei Yecheskel has. The problem is, it's counter-derived already, yes, in the Neralim. It's counterintuitive. Why should it be that to be mata tiltul, durabanan, you need less mechitzahs than to be chayev for the malach of haitzah? Typically, you would say, the malach of haitzah, you're chayev if you have three walls. To be matatiltu, you need more. Here, Reb Chaim is saying just the opposite. Reb Chaim is saying within the Rambam, matatiltu enough for three. To be chayev for itzah, you need four. Why should the hetatiltu come before the, you know, the malach of itzah? Typically, you know, the rabbanon to permit something, the rabbanon would be more stringent than that which you would require to violate the malach of the raisa. So it's a shver chiluk within the Rambam. So that's why there are those who suggest that Divrei Yecheskel himself suggests a different distinction. Within the Rambam, how, you know, to resolve the contradiction, do you need dlosos that are ruyos little, or do you need dlosos actually that are nulos belayla? So he suggests perhaps there's a difference between two different kinds of doors. You could have a door, let's say a rolling gate, where there's no frame of the door there, just a gate that rolls open and closed. Or you could have a door which has a frame of a door there as well. So, and when we're talking about doors over here, are we talking about doors that's just a rolling gate, or do you actually need a frame of a door there too? So, some Sefer's opinion was, when we're discussing Delosa, serving as a mechitza, even if there's no Tzuras HaPesach there, there's no frame of the door itself can serve as a mechitza. The Chazon Ish has in one of his Simanim, in Hilchos Eruvin, many hasogas on the Tshuvach Sam Sefer. He cites like 15 things in Sam Sefer that he doesn't agree with, and he lists his disagreements all in one simon in the Chazon Ish. He collects them. So one of them is this. Chazon Ish disagrees in order to have delosos that are sufficient in order to permit carrying in an area to serve a mechitza, it has to have a door frame there too. This is a problem. I mean, it creates problems. I was once, one of the first Erevin I was involved in building was in Indianapolis 15 years ago. And we were one of the, I doubt it's the same Erev today. And one of the mechitzas we were using was a fence of a public school, which was great, because we didn't have to pay for it, so, and it was there already. But the problem was the public school wasn't fully enclosed, and the back was a forest, so they only had a front fence. And the front fence had a huge opening for the school buses to come in and out. So there was a, you know, very long fence, miles long, but they had this opening in the middle. What are we going to do about this opening? So, but they had a gate that they literally closed every night. It was closest than all is Belila. But there was no door frame that was there. So when the door was open, and during the winter time of the extracurricular activities went past, you know, the Shkia and Tzeis Kekavim, so it wasn't going to help us. It wasn't closed all day Shabbos. So what are we going to do for the opening? So it had the losos. They were literally in the Nalos Balai, but there's no Tzuras HaPesach there when the doors were open. So according to the Chazon Ish, that's not really good enough. According to some Sefer, it is good enough. So Dibri Yechezkel suggests perhaps a pshar over here. He says, if it's nin olos belayla, if it's actually closed at night, then you don't need a door frame there as well, because it's going to be closed at night. That serves as a mefitza. When do you need a door frame there? Is when it's not closed at night. It's ruuyos lino. So then, since it's never going to be closed, not going to be closed at night, how do I have any mechitza over here at all? The doors aren't closed at night to remind me that there's something going on here. Ah, so then you have to have a door frame there as well. And he suggests that that's the pshat in the Rambam. The Rambam says in one place, enough with ruuyos lino. In the other place, he says, no, you need an os balayla. There's a distinction between whether or not there's a tzuras ha-pesach there too. When he said it's enough with ruuyos lino, that's because there's a tzuras ha-pesach there too. Ah, so then that's good enough, even though the doors are not going to be closed every night. However, if there's no other tzuras ha-pesach there too, then you actually need the lessons and elos balayla. Otherwise, when it's open, you really don't have anything to speak of. Either way, the Gemara says that in order to enclose, to transform Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYachin, permit carrying with inside, it's not enough with a lechi or a kaira or a tzuras ha-pesach. You need delosos, either delosos ninalos balayla or delosos ruuyos linos, two opinions, Shulchan Aruch machlekes rishonim. Why though? Why is the tzuras ha-pesach is a mechitza deraisa, according to most opinions? So lechi or kaira, derabanan's there to remind you not to carry beyond this point. But a tzuras ha-pesach, a real mechitza. So why should it not be good enough to convert a Rishus HaRabim into a Rishus HaYachin? So that is also Machlekes HaRishonim. The opinion of the Rashba is, because our sugya is following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah later on in the Chav Bezim at Aleph is that when you have heavy traffic passing through a mechitza, that undoes the purpose of the mechitza. Right? So generally speaking, mechitza is there to prevent the flow of traffic. Here you have a heavy traffic going through the mechitza. We say, Asu Rabim umavat l'mechitza. So Rabim will come through and destroy the Tzuras HaPesach. If I have delosos, ninolos balayla, or doors, that itself minimizes the flow of traffic, and therefore delosos can stand up to the heavy traffic of a Rishus HaRabim. But if all I have is a Tzuras HaPesach, so then we say, Asu Rabim umavat l'mechitza. So that's the way the Rashba learned our Gemara. However, Tosfos disagrees, and he feels, no, our Gemara is even following those who disagree with Rabbi Yehuda later on, even though the Rabbanan, who later on in Chav Bezim et Aleph, normally do not say, Asu Rabim Mavat L'Mechitza, even, you know, so normally Mechitza can withstand heavy traffic, Atzuras HaPesach can't. Atzuras HaPesach, the frame of a door, a pole over here, a pole over here, and a pole on top, cannot withstand heavy traffic, because Atzuras HaPesach is an inferior Mechitza. It is a Mechitza, it's more than a or a kaira, which are more or less a reminder. They function somewhat differently. A lechi is more of a mechitza. A kaira is more of a reminder. But either way, the more or less a reminder is not to carry beyond this point. A tzuras ha-pesach is a mechitza, but it's an inferior mechitza. As we should describe it, it's more like a mechitza grua. It's an inferior mechitza. And therefore, even though the Rabbana normally would not say, Asu Rabbim Mavafa Mechitza, this is a mechitza grua. And even the Rabbanan who agree in that scenario, it didn't such with an inferior mechitza, like a tzuras ha-pesach, it can't withstand the traffic of Rishus HaRabim. It's only when you have delosos, that's a formidable mechitza, like all the other mechitzas, that can withstand somewhat of the traffic. How do we paskin on this issue, and what difference does it make? It makes a big difference. So it doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch how we paskin. All it says in Shulchan Aruch is you need delosos. Now that could be interpreted in one of two ways. It could be interpreted because we paskin like Rav Yehuda, as the Rashba said, Asu Rabim umavak l'mechitza. Even if you had real mechitzas, the Rabim that are coming through are going to destroy it unless you have delosos, which prevent the flow of traffic. Or it could be because we really pass like the Rabbanan, the loy Asu Rabim umavak l'mechitza. However, in general, but a Tzuras HaPesach isn't good enough because a Tzuras HaPesach is an inferior kind of mechitza. So it's a machlekes rishonim, how to learn our Gemara, and we really don't have any indication in Shulchan Aruch how we pass in one way or the other on this issue. So the Beis Ephraim and the Chazon Ish learn the pshat in the Shulchan Aruch. We paskin loy osu rabim mavatul mechitza. Typically speaking, rabim are not going to come and be mavatul mechitza, but tzuras ha-pesach is a mechitza grua and can't withstand heavy traffic, and that's why tzuras ha-pesach is not good when you're dealing with the rishus ha-rabim deiraisa. The Bir Halacha, and preceded by the Mishkan Es Yaakov and the Beis Meir and other commentators on the Shulchan Aruch, understood the Shulchan Aruch now is passing like Rav Yehuda. We paskin Asu Rabim umavak l'mechitza. Tzuras HaPesach is a fine mechitza. No different than any other mechitza. And couldn't withstand heavy traffic. The problem is, no mechitza, at least it's no different than other mechitzas, no mechitza can withstand heavy traffic, because we paskin Asu Rabim umavak l'mechitza. Tzuras HaPesach is fine, but Asu Rabim umavak l'mechitza. The halacha asks, if that's the case, how do we ever build an Eruv anywhere? Don't we have to be concerned? Asu Rabim umavak l'mechitza. So Bialacha claims that the basis for any Eruv is that based on two assumptions. He says, well, when the Rambam said the Losois is good enough, even if it's the Losois Ru'uyois Lino, why would he already compromise on what kind of doors are necessary? So Bialacha suggests, perhaps even if we paskin Asuram Mavatl Mechitza, we only do so Midrabbanan as a Chumrah. We really paskin Loy Asuram Mavatl Mechitza, and really a Tzuras HaPesach is a fine Mechitza. Midrabbanan were Machmir, that they're not to rely on that. So he said, since we're only dealing with the Nisha Midrabbanan, the Bialacha says, and we're not sure if we have Rishus HaRabim in the first place anyway, because we don't have time to get into it now, but it's a machlek, as we shined in order to be Rishus HaRabim, you need 600,000 people on this specific road every day, or 600,000 people, walking around the streets of the city at any given point in time, which presumably in most, most of our neighborhood, there might be some that do have that, but presumably most of our neighborhoods, we don't have that. So since we're not sure if we have Rishus HaRabim Deiraisa anyway, Bialacha, this is an open debate, two opinions in Shulchan Aruch, and the whole issue over here is only the Rabbanan, not to rely on the Tzuras HaPesach. So we say, suffering the Rabbanan Lekula, unless you're sure that you have Rishus HaRabim Deiraisa, which is, hopefully not the case in many communities. So we're back to the old Machlekes. Do we have Rishus HaRabim? Don't we have Rishus HaRabim? Anyway, Tzuras HaPesach should have been good enough. Mideiraisa, Midrabbanan, Wamach, we're not to rely on it. So we could say, suffering the Rabbanan Lekula. However, according to the Chazon Ish, the Beis Ephraim, that won't be good enough. They held, we really paskin Loy HaRabim Avatel Mechitza. But it turns out Pesach can't stand up to heavy traffic. So how could it be that we build Erevin in any community? If we pass in Lo Yisraelim about the Mechitza, turns out Pesach is an inferior Mechitza and can't stand up to heavy traffic. So that's why the Beis Ephraim has a different explanation for suburban Erevin. And that is because the Gemara says, according to everyone, you never say heavy traffic comes and undoes a Mechitza if the Mechitza is only necessary midrabbanan. The Gemara says, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the two mechitzas were good enough, so then all you need is a lechi or kaira on either side, so that we never would say, asu ram avat mechitza on the lechi or the kaira. The mechitzas only necessary midrabbanan. We never say, asu ram avat mechitza, and mechitza that's only necessary midrabbanan. So therefore, the Beis Ephraim quotes from Mordechai, quotes from the Marami Rutenberg, if you're dealing with a Carmelist anyway, and most suburban communities are not a Rishus HaRabim Deiraisa, they don't have 600,000 people walking through it, it's a Carmelist. You're not allowed to carry that unless you make an Erev around it. But it's not a Rishus HaRabim Deiraisa. So the mechitzas that are necessary there are only necessary midrabbanan. Whenever you're dealing with the mechitzas, it's only necessary midrabbanan. We never say, Asu Rabim Avatel Mechitza, and even a Tzuras HaPesach will be good enough. So that's why the first assumption of most communities, and that's the way Shulchan Aruch HaRav writes, that's the way the Aruch HaShulchan says, is that most of our Erevin are based on the assumption we only have a Carmelist, we don't have Rishus HaRabim Deiraisa. And whenever you're dealing with a mechitza, it's only necessary midrabbanan. We don't say asuram about the mechitza according to anyone. So that's why the first assumption of the premise of all community Erevin has to be that there's no Rishus HaRabim Deiraisa here. Because most community Erevin are going to rely on Tzuras HaPesach. And if you have Rishus HaRabim Deiraisa, that's going to come and it's going to be mevatel the Tzuras HaPesach for one of two reasons. Either because we paskin asuram about the mechitza, like Mishnah Yaakov said, or because the Tzuras HaPesach is a mechitza grua. And even though lo asuram about the mechitza, Mechitza Grua can't withstand any kind of heavy traffic. The first assumption of any Erev is you have to chart it to make sure that you don't encounter Rishus HaRabim Deiraisa. But there is an important distinction whether or not we pass like the Mishkan Yaakov or we pass like the Beis Ephraim. Why? I mean, how do we arrive at that? Everyone agrees you can't have Rishus HaRabim Deiraisa running through a community Erev that's going to rely on the Tzuras HaPesach. Machlekes was why. But there is an important distinction, Machlekes HaPaiskim, Lamaisa, contemporary Paiskim, based on this machlekes in the Beis Ephraim and the Mishkan Yaakov, and that's with regards to the suggestion of the Chazon Ish in big cities. When the Chazon Ish was, Chaim Moizer drafted the Chazon Ish to help him build an Erev in Paris. Today there is no Erev in Paris, I believe. But Reb Chaim Moizer was involved in building an Erev in Paris. I don't think there is one today. So the Chazon Ish, in discussing the Erev in Paris, came up with the following suggestion. He said, look at Paris. Every, inch has something that's built on it because the real estate is so valuable. We could apply that to many big cities where every inch of the city is built up because it doesn't pay to leave open areas or it's fenced in or whatever it is. So Chazon Ish said, wherever you look, you have mechitzas. There's mechitzas all over the place. So it's counterintuitive. It's ironic. But the bigger the city is, the more valuable the real estate is, the more mechitzas, natural mechitzas you have around you. I have house. The whole street is lined. So you have the streets that run in between. You have the cross streets. So you could close those off with a Tzuras HaPesach. But more or less, I have a Rishus HaYachad Deiraisa on any street in one big city. Because I have buildings that go all the way around. And as long as the street doesn't run all the way through the city, it ends in a dead end at some point. Or some other, you have to make a right turn or left turn at some point. then I more or less have, if you look in aerial view, you'll see you really have Rishus HaYachid Deiraisa, so you have machitzas lining all the streets. And we could, even though there are pirtzlis, there are breaks, the Gemara is going to explain later on, you could have, as long as you have Oymed, Meruv, Ala Paratz, you have more machitzas than breaks, you really have Rishus HaYachid Deiraisa. So Chazon Ish felt it's good enough to close off the streets at Tzuras HaPesach. Rav Moshe and Rav Aaron Cutler and their tshuvas about building the Erev in Manhattan, both were opposed. They're aware of this Chazon Ish. And they disagree with the Chazon Ish. They say, how can you say that all the buildings join up with one another? You have Rishus HaRabim running through the different streets. So the buildings on one side of the street don't join up with the buildings on the other side of the street. But more or less what they're arguing is, we say, Asu Rabim Umavach L'Mechitza. Even though I have Mechitza, 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 since I have breaks with the Rishus HaRabim running through, the Rishus HaRabim comes through and destroys the Oimei Merub Alaparitz. I don't have the Mechitzas, can't join up one with the other. Chazon Ish was Lashitosa, the Chazon Ish Paskin. Why also Rabim and Mavatl Mechitza? Rabim don't come through and a Mavatl Mechitza. Yes, Tzuras HaPesach can't withstand any kind of heavy traffic. But over here, I have real buildings. I have building, building, building. Those are bona fide Mechitzas, real Mechitzas. And as long as they can join up with one another, we could say, I may Meru Bala Parts. The brakes I'll close off with the Tzuras HaPesach, but I have bona fide Mechitzas, the majority of it. So then we say, Loy Osu Rabim Vata Mechitza, and as long as you close off the streets, the Tzuras HaPesach is good enough. Rabbi Yishai Rabbi Cutler, and this machlokes continues to rage until today. Machlokes in the base of Friday, the Mishnah Yaakov, continues to exist today. They argue, no, we should really paskin Osu Rabim Vata Mechitza, and therefore you can't just close off the streets. The buildings themselves don't join up one with the other. It's more complicated than that, but let's just analyze one street. If you analyze one particular street, huh? Yeah.
Champs-Élysées, the main street.
Champs-Élysées, yeah.
The street's going this way. So he said you have to fix every single cross street.
Well, he wasn't discussing that. That's more complicated. Again, every issue relates to a lot of that. It might be like a plaza, and a plaza might never be able to be closed off. That's one issue that Moshe also raised with Times Square things. But let's say you have one local street. Let's leave Champs-Élysées out. But let's say you have one, or Times Square. Let's say you have one local street. I have buildings on one side and buildings on the other side. And it ends in a dead end, more or less. Ends one end, in a park. The other end in the other park. And so then the Chazon Ish, but we're not discussing Chazon Ish now. But the Chazon Ish felt, well, once you have Rishus HaYachid Deiraisa on one street, we view it, it's like a domino. Because once one street is closed, all the other streets that open up into it are also closed. So it all feeds into itself. I mean, once I close, it's like gridlock. Once I close one, that could close all the other ones too. But you're right, it needs to be adapted to a city scale, but at least on a one street scale, you can understand what the question
is. You define what is Yasser Rabin about the physically? What does it mean?
Well, the purpose of mechitzah is to prevent the flow of traffic, so more or less, right? So over here, if I have heavy traffic going through, how can I say that? That's a mechitzah. What is it accomplishing? So Tzuras HaPesach is a symbolic mechitzah, right? I have a door frame over here, so we envision that, the frame of a door, we envision the door. How can I envision anything if I have a ton of traffic running through? That was the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Chachamim say, come on. It has to be something substantial. Oh, it's Tzuras HaPesach, it's an inferior mechitza. Maybe. Yeah, it's the whole sigah and chavez and aleph. That's the whole sigah. But that's exactly what the Gemara asks in Yehuda. That's why he says, Alechi Yekan, Makar, Mikan is good enough. Because even though there's heavy traffic going through, two mechitzas is good enough. So the mechitza is only necessary midrabanan. Whenever it's only necessary midrabanan, you don't say it. Okay. Shkosh.
Breakfast is served. Just on the west side. 86 weeks. He says on the 80s. He wants to call me to the pass. 90 weeks on to the pass. If you have the openings on both sides.